Today's scripture is from Genesis chapter 32, verses 6 through 11. The messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people who were with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two companies, thinking, "If Esau comes to one company and destroys it, then the company that is left will escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your kindred, and I will do you good,' I am not worthy of the least of all of your steadfast love and all of the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff, I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, the mothers with the children." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I didn't want anyone to hear me singing. That's the real truth of that. So I didn't know if you noticed while she was reading scripture, but her name was Sherry Rose, and she had a little plaque that said home with an Ohio. And Sherry is part of our online community. So when we talk about how we're a church in multiple locations, I mean, it's not South Florida, but you see that in multiple locations. So I think that is so cool that we get to hear from people all over the country as part of St. Luke's. You know, today we are starting a brand new sermon series called Tug of War, and we're going to talk about conflict. Yay. Groans. Yay. We'll talk in a minute. I'm going to get a poll on how you feel about conflict, but I am excited to talk about this because when we said we wanted to do a relationship series in February, I know that can go a few different ways. All the couples might be like, "Yay, relationship series." And if you're not coupled, you're like, "Oh, are we really going to talk about this in church again?" Okay. So we said, what is something that everyone in any kind of relationship can relate to? And we zeroed in pretty quick on conflict. Conflict is something that we experience in all of our relationships, whether it's our family, our workplace, our friendship, our neighbors, our marriages, our parenting, whatever. Conflict is just kind of part of it. So before we dive in, let's pray together. God, when we talk about something like conflict, I know it can feel tense. I mean, the title of this message is the tension. God, we feel that. We don't always know what to do or how to do it or if we're engaging in conflict in the right way. And so I pray that over the next few weeks, Lord, that we would learn something about ourselves, that we learn something about you, and we would learn how to be in relationship with each other in the best possible way. So God be with us, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, as we were talking about conflict, a few what I would say notable conflicts came to my mind that I wanted to share with you this morning. So I thought first about a famous workplace conflict. And if you can't read what it, so that's Toby and Michael from The Office, if you don't have the context of this. And it says, "You know, Michael, sometimes my daughter's stomach hurts when there's a mean girl at school." And Michael says, "Well, Toby, sometimes my stomach hurts when you come into my office." So HR, the boss, they did not really get along. Another conflict I thought about was more in athletics. Yes. Now, this kind of feels ridiculous this year. I get it. Yes. But in the past, this has been a very fierce and competitive rivalry. I also thought about conflicts with our neighbors that we have sometimes. That's Urkel and Mr. Winslow and all of the conflicts that they would get into over the course of their relationship. I thought about conflicts in entertainment. And to be clear, between NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys, there is a winner, and it is NSYNC. And we can talk about that afterwards if you need to. And then I thought about conflicts in my own home. So this is Pepper the dog and June the cat. And Pepper's lived with us for 2 weeks, and June is 15. And she's 5 pounds, but she has let Pepper know who the boss is in the house. So there are conflicts all around us all the time, all kinds. And my guess is that most of us actually prefer watching conflict to engaging in conflict. But I am curious, how many of you would say that you like conflict? My thing is, the people that like conflict, your hands went up very quickly. Like, yes, I do. Okay, how about if you don't like conflict and you would avoid it? Okay. Some of you are like, I don't know, I'm on the fence about conflict. That's fine. Well, look, we all have different ways of approaching this part of our relationships. You know, some of us, we yell when we're in a conflict, in an argument. Some of us really shrink back and we avoid it. Some of us are the people that were like, it's fine, everything's fine. And when you're in a conflict with that person, when you realize it's not fine, it's very bad. So there are lots of ways that we have this, but the truth is, no matter who you are or how you engage in conflict, the truth is, in a relationship, any relationship, conflict is going to happen. And what I want you to hear today and over the next few weeks is that does not mean that you're doing it wrong in your relationships. Conflict is not a bad thing that we have to avoid. You know, I think sometimes we have this really false ideal that harmony, unity, kind of smooth sailing, that's the goal for our relationships. But conflict is a normal and necessary part of relationships. I think just most of us don't know how to navigate it. So that's what we're going to explore together. And I think some of us who avoid it, you know, we kind of have a knot in our stomach when conflict approaches us. I always joke that the worst sentence in the English language is, we need to talk. Ugh. Or if you ever get a text from someone, they're like, hey, can I call you? I'm like, why? What did I do? What's happening? We dread those conflicts because we don't know how they're going to turn out. And I think what's so interesting is that we actually see that in this scripture today. That is not just a modern problem that we have. I don't know if you really heard when Sherry was reading that scripture, but Jacob is full of dread. He has gone to the worst case scenario and then some about what is about to happen. And the text even tells us this. It says, Jacob was terrified and he felt trapped. I don't know if you've ever felt that way going into a hard conversation, but it's not a good feeling. It's not a place where resolution and conversation can grow. It's a place where we can panic. And I don't know why you felt that way, but if you look at Jacob's story, he actually has a pretty good reason for feeling like that. I know that conflicts can be very gray. There's not always a right. There's not always a wrong, but if you read Jacob's story, he's pretty much 100% in the wrong here with his brother. And if you don't know Jacob's story, I'm going to tell it to you in just a really brief way today. So Jacob and Esau are these brothers, and I would say that they have lived their lives in just deep generational conflict. So it starts out in kind of this classic sibling rivalry thing. The mom favors Jacob, the dad favors Esau. It causes tension, but okay, it's just in the home, it's fine. Where things really start to get messy is when their dad starts to get older, because then they start to talk about this idea of inheritance. And now back then, this should not have actually been that complicated of a conversation. Esau was older. He should have gotten the blessing, the birthright. It should have been cut and dry. But Jacob's nickname, I don't know if you know this, was the liar. So he's a tricky guy, and his mom is on his side. So they create a plan to trick their aging father, and Jacob steals Esau's birthright. And I want you to understand what that was like, because this isn't just a blessing or a formality. This is about money, this is about status, and this is about identity. Okay, take yourself from Jacob and Esau a long, long time ago. Money, status, identity. When these things get poked in us, conflict is high. These are the kinds of things that sever relationships into two. And so that's where these brothers are. It is a bad situation. And a lot of time has passed, but Jacob is pretty sure this reunion is not going to go well. I mean, one of the last things that Esau says to him is basically that, I want you dead. You've betrayed me on that deep of a level that we can't possibly go forward. And so this situation should go one way, but it actually goes the opposite. If you kept reading this story today, you'd see a story of two brothers who have been in deep conflict who reunite. And there's no fist fight. There's no battle. There's no screaming. There's actually an embrace. There's tears. They meet each other as kids. I mean, it is a very heartwarming thing that happens between these two brothers. And so as we talk about conflict and we start with this story, the question for us, I think, is, well, how did it go that way? How did it go so well when everything that we know would say it really should have gone so poorly? I think the biggest factor for why this conflict went the opposite of what everyone would expect is simply the fact that these two people did their own work first. They did their own work first. And I know, I feel like this is a really tricky thing to talk about because maybe you are more spiritually developed than me. But when I'm in a conflict with someone, I can see every single thing that they have done wrong. It's not hard. I mean, I could make you a list. Like, these are your flaws. This is where it's your fault. These are the things that you need to change. It's not hard for me to zero in on this is what's wrong with the other person and here's why I'm right. But you know the problem with that, right? The problem is that we can't control another person. We cannot. We can only control ourselves. We can only work on ourselves. And I think the hard truth that some of us have to realize, and this is tense and this is tender, is that it's really hard for unhealthy people to have healthy relationships. Amen. And this is something that we need to be aware of for ourselves and for the people around us. It goes both ways. This is internal and external truth, because if it's true for someone else, it's true for us too. And I think that we have to be willing to let that truth shape the way that we see ourselves and we see others. You know, I was going through a conflict pretty recently and I just felt stuck in it. I don't know if you've had a conflict that it feels stuck. I found myself constantly frustrated and really angry. And it was like this cycle of disappointment. I was like, I expect them to do this and they do the other thing. And why is this happening? We were just going round and round and round. And I was talking to a friend about it and she said, you know, maybe you need to go back and listen to this Brené Brown podcast. And friends, I love Brené Brown, so this was not hard advice for me to follow. And I don't know if you are familiar with Brené Brown and her work, but she is a social worker, and she looks a lot at our different relationships and the things that make them healthy, the things that make them a little bit less healthy, and kind of what we can do about it. And so one of the things that she does with people when she leads trainings, like for workplaces or corporations, is something that I want to lead you through right now. So it's a little bit interactive, but you don't have to move or anything like that. You just have to close your eyes. So it's not too hard. But I do want you to close your eyes. And I want you to picture in your head someone in your life who you experience frustration, disappointment, and or resentment with. And I know bringing up that name might cause a lot of feelings. It might be difficult to do, but I want you to hold that person and their name in your heart right now. Because then I want you to think about that person and just consider the idea that they are doing the best that they can. How does that change the way you see them? You can open your eyes. That exercise has been really transformational for me. Because what that exercise doesn't do is it doesn't let that person off the hook. It doesn't say, well, that's just how they are, and I'm going to accept that behavior and be a doormat and just kind of go with the flow. That's not what that's about. What it's about is setting healthy boundaries in yourself when you interact with them. It's saying, this is how things are, and so here's who I can be when I show up to a conflict, to an interaction with them. It helps us be in a place where we feel safe and prepared and ready to interact with someone who it might be a really difficult thing to do. I'll try to make this a little bit concrete for you. If you're doing this exercise, you might say, I know that they're doing the best that they can, so I know that I can't give them something really important to follow through with because I've seen that they don't follow through on their commitments. So I won't expect them to do that in the future. You could say, I know that they're doing the best that they can, but I'll remember not to share sensitive information with them because it's not going to stay between us. Some of you are like, I know that person. But you don't do that. You say, I love you, but I'm going to set a boundary with you because I know you're doing the best that you can and you can't do that thing that I want you to do. And I think if we go back to our text, that's actually kind of how we see Jacob and Esau approach each other here. I mean, they show up with the information that they have about the brother. Jacob knows that Esau's angry. Esau knows Jacob is really tricky and can't be trusted. And they show up with that info. Now, we might say, oh, that's negative. They should have assumed the best about each other. But what that's doing is it's saying, I can show up to this conflict ready and expecting what you're going to bring. And I can still love you through it. But here's the thing. The twist in this story is it doesn't go like they thought it would. It doesn't. Jacob brings something different. Esau doesn't come mad. I mean, you got to realize Esau could have attacked him. He was in his right to do that, but he doesn't. He forgives him. And I think the reason that they do that is because these two people have healed. Again, they've done the work. The people who came to the conflict are not the people that they knew in the past, but they're the people that only God could help them become. And when I read this story, it just reminds me that healing is possible. And I think sometimes we just need to even hold on to that little scrap of truth, that healing is possible. Now, that doesn't mean healing's quick. That doesn't mean healing's easy. If you actually read this little section of Genesis 32 and 33, these are the chapters where Jacob wrestles with God. And maybe the homework I'll give you for this week is to go read those two chapters of Genesis, because you really see what happens when we encounter God and decide to invite God into that healing space. I mean, Jacob wrestles. It's messy, it's painful, it's difficult, it takes a long time, but he sticks in there and he lets God work with him and he comes out the other side a different person. And I believe that is possible in our relationships for ourselves and for the people that we love. You know, we can't forget about Esau here either, because Esau is kind of a supporting character in this story. Like, we get all of Jacob's inner monologue and then Esau just kind of shows up, but we can't forget that Esau forgives. And when you're in a conflict, I feel like forgiveness is one of the hardest things that we can access sometimes. So if you are in a place where you're trying to forgive someone, I guess I just want to see keep doing that work and know that it's slow, know that it's a challenge, but know that it's worth doing. I actually think all of this work is worth doing, because one thing that I always say about our inner spiritual state is that it's not actually just about us. The things that go on in us come out in our relationships. And the good news, the bad news is that healthy or unhealthy, that stuff pours out. And when we are in a conflict with someone, that's sometimes when the worst of us can come out. So it matters that we do that spiritual work, that we connect with God, that we're as healthy as we can be, so that when we get in that place where we experience fear, or we feel threatened, or we don't know how it's going to go, we know that we have 2 feet to stand on, and we know who we are. That's what we see in the story of Jacob and Esau. And I know that we might be tempted to avoid it. Because, I mean, what we're talking about today is not like light or fluffy or fun. I get that. But even though we might be tempted to avoid conflict, I really believe that healthy conflict can lead to healthy relationships. And it's actually when we avoid it that we might miss out on the growth and the goodness. I'll wrap up today by talking about a Japanese art called kintsugi. Has anyone heard of this? Okay, I learned about this, I think it was last summer when I went on this retreat and we did it. P.S. It's really hard to do if you're not crafty, and I'm not. But it was a really cool lesson to learn. So kintsugi, I think we might have a picture of what it looks like. Yes, perfect. So it is this art of taking broken pieces of pottery and putting them back together using this like gold lacquer. So you're taking the cracks and you're actually highlighting them. You're not trying to hide them. You're not trying to pretend like the break didn't happen. You're saying these breaks actually make this piece of art more beautiful. And what I thought was funny when I was researching this is it said that this art form caught on so fast that collectors of very expensive pieces of ceramics would actually start breaking stuff on purpose so that they could have the beautiful gold going through it. Now, I'm not telling you to go start conflict on purpose because that's drama, and we don't need you to be the drama. Don't do that. But I guess what I am saying is don't shy away from it either. The tension we feel with conflict is we think it's going to break us beyond repair. But the truth that we have with God said, I'm not sure it really can. I'm not sure there's any single thing, any single relationship, any single story that we hold that God can't fix. So as we go into the series called Tug of War, and we talk about conflict, I guess what I just want to encourage you is to lean into it. Let it be hard, let it be uncomfortable, let it be messy, but do that knowing that God is going to show up and that something beautiful is possible. Let's pray as we go into communion. Jesus, I thank you for the ways that you heal us, for the ways that you show up for us, for when even we don't bring our best selves, Lord, you don't shy away. God, I pray that we would receive that grace now through your communion table. And remember that you never give up on us. Amen.